I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Films Narcitude, this is Real Spoilers Episode 508, the not box office report for the week ending September 15th.
Nailed it.
2019.
Good job.
So, well, we kept pretending like we were going to come up with another name.
And we did.
And we never did.
Oh, yeah.
It was called the not box office report.
Okay. Yeah, we were on a different page. I was pretty sure it was called the not box. Like, we just came up with that because we were too lazy and I thought we accepted that.
Yeah. We did accept it. That's what I thought.
I was
holding out hope.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I'm in two worlds right now.
Yeah, you got to.
I have the podcast run by a project manager.
That's true.
That's like has all our ducks in a row, and then those ducks have sub ducks, and those ducks are also in a row.
Yeah,
and then
I can tell because I help you guys with stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, Crystal really knows how to manage stuff because like we're just like,
and
oh, I'll look into this. See you later.
And then
you
there's real spoilers.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll see you next week.
But Crystal sends like 20 paragraphs of like, I mean, she's very organized.
Bullet,
she gives me all this
points.
Research and look into this for the podcast and the technical stuff I help with. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I would just be like, here's this link. Look into it. You know?
flow charts and bullet points. And
PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint.
Yeah, you can tell who's got the MBA and who graduated with a degree in communications at 45. It's pretty
apparent.
Yes.
Yeah,
The contrasts are stark.
Yeah.
So I guess before we dig in, we should go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. These are things Crystal has trained me to say on the other podcasts.
Yes.
So we should start. It's very important to list off all the other places.
It's working.
Yes.
Yeah. So that way when Google translates it and then their text gets read by the spiders and the web crawlers.
Exactly.
Optimization.
Yes. It's all the things that I'm being trained in.
All right.
So
good
there.
For you.
Sit. Good, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you just put, just let me talk into a microphone.
Yeah. I'm like, I was told I was just here to make jokes. That's what I do. She's like, no. You have to say all this. So, no. Yes. And I have a list of 45 more. Stitcher, Spreaker. No.
I was like, what is Spreaker?
Spreaker.
That's a new thing, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Cool. So, Snapchat, Friendster.
Oh, man.
Ask Jeeves.
Bing.
Hotbot.
That's a totally different thing.
Hot Netscape.
GeoCities.
Mosaics.
Angel Fire.
Jeez. Oh, wow. Now we just need to insert that modem noise.
Yeah.
down.
All of a sudden the podcast cuts off because, you know, you can't pick up the phone while somebody else is on the internet.
Mom, I'm trying to use
it. Oh, so close to
the
seeing
picture
Sandra
was only,
Bullock's boobs.
Yeah. The picture is like 33% downloaded.
Yeah, there's probably a whole
start over.
There's probably a certain sliver of your generation that whenever they hear that modem dial-in, gets a boner.
That's probably true.
Like it's
like
just
a Pavlovian.
It's Pavlovian. Yeah. Like it's like, oh, about to see pixelated
boobs.
Porn. Wait, I'm 39.
Yeah.
No,
I'll
I'm not.
I'll just do this over here.
Yeah, it's on my phone now.
Right. Oh my gosh.
In 1080p. What am I doing?
I don't know if any of you, I mean, Joe may have because we're close in age for this, but remember when PC games like Doom and Wolfenstein were popular?
Absolutely.
Well, then you could mod them with WAD files,
mm-hmm.
and I would download like Doom, but the bad guys would say Barney and like Beavis and Butthead lines from the shows.
Yeah.
And so it would be like, oh, I love you, and then like machine guns or whatever. And so that was the stuff that I remembered going online trying to find those files, and they were probably like 3 megabytes, but it took like 20 minutes to
download. Mine was definitely boobs.
Yeah.
Absolutely boobs.
Yeah. Nerd.
Yeah.
I remember. I was ahead of my time.
Yeah. You could have been looking at naked people, but you got downloaded Barney Wave files.
Yeah. It was Tiffany Amber Thiessen. That was the one I remember waiting on.
I just finished.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, like, post, I think it's post Saved by the Bell, but, like, maybe she just got on Melrose Place? Or 902, one of those, Melrose Place or 90210, whichever one she was on. She had just got onto that show, and then pictures had shown up. Professional pictures. And I was
right.
Like, how you doing, Kelly Kapowski?
I mean, I think for my generation that grew up with Saved by the Bell, I mean, she was like number one heartthrob.
Still is.
I just got finished watching the entire series thanks to Tom. He showed me Saved by the Bell.
What series?
Saved by the Bell.
Did you watch the very
caffeine pills?
No.
The first season or
that's so
like
great.
It also came with the first season where it was like,
Hello, Mrs. Bliss.
Yeah. Oh, they did one there?
So Miss Bliss
is what it started as.
Yeah.
It started as a show about the teacher.
What was that woman's name?
I don't remember.
She was the gal from the original Parent Trap.
Yeah.
Oh, Haley Mills?
Yes. Haley Mills.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the kids were more interesting than the teacher, so they got rid of her, and they changed the name to Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I know. I just watched them all.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember the caffeine pills coming into play, though.
Oh, no. I was saying that was season one. Like, it should have been included in what you purchased.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Oh, yeah. No.
But
Vudu
has it on sale. I think it is still on sale for $20 for the whole series.
Does it include the college years?
Yes.
No. Oh, it included college years?
I'll tell you what it is. Seriously, because, I mean, this is, we were just talking off the air about nostalgia, and so for me, I grew up watching Saved by the Bell, and I messaged Tom after I had watched a couple seasons, and I'm like, I have seen every single episode. And nowadays, when you can binge things, when you can go on Netflix, Hulu, all HBO Go, and watch any show on demand, seeing episodes of a show isn't weird, but to me, I'm like, I remember each of these episodes. Like, I had to watch them when they aired.
Oh, I remember watching them live, for sure.
But I caught each one.
Like, it's your generation's Brady Bunch.
Yeah,
easily.
I remembered every plot line. But anyway, it's Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
I think that's what it's called.
So it's Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
So who was on that? Because it wasn't the whole cast. It was Zach Morris.
It's just not Slater, not Jesse. It's Screech and Zach.
Mark Paul Gosselaar and...
Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, it's Screech.
So
and
no,
Zach.
So no Lisa.
Lisa's always been there too.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa's been there. Lisa's the one that's been there throughout the
Turtle.
Entire.
Oh, that's her character's name.
Yeah, Lark Voorhees.
Yeah.
So it's Good Morning, Miss Bliss. There's four seasons of Saved by the Bell, but Vudu splits it into five, and the fifth season's all out of order. So they graduate at the end of four, and then I got to five, and I'm like, wait, what? So like they all failed and went back.
Up
the order. Well, here's why. So Kelly and Jesse disappear
in the fifth season.
In the fourth, there is no fifth.
Oh,
so what they did was they included it like that fifth, that fourth season kind of never existed or whatever.
That's funny.
Because what happens is Kelly and Jesse disappear. None of the characters ever even say like, "Oh, they're on a trip to Europe." Oh, they're in exchange program. They never address it. And then they introduce the new love interest for Zach, girl with the leather jacket.
It's the Saved by the Bell version of Foe and Luke Duke.
I was thinking when
Welcome Back Kotter did it too.
Yeah, but so did that 70s show.
Oh,
that's right.
Ashton Kutcher and Topher Grace left.
Yeah,
they brought in Seth Meyers' brother to like take Eric's place.
Did they ever address it though?
They said that like I think Kelso. I don't remember Kelso, but
they maybe addressed it.
They addressed that Eric was like on a mission trip.
So this is the weird thing. So they disappear. Two of the, you know, I mean, the group's a tight knit group, and like these two disappear. They introduce the new love interest, but they filmed them all out of order. What happened was the end of the whatever first half of season four was supposed to be it, but the network ordered more episodes, so they filmed their graduation, but then they didn't want to lose that graduation with the main characters, obviously, and so they just pretended like nothing happened, they're gone, and then they took the graduation episode and pinned it at the back end. So after you're introduced to Tori, the girl with the leather jacket, the new love interest and all this, she's not at graduation.
Right.
So you've just had watched a whole season with her and her love interest thing, and then they graduate. Kelly and Jesse are back without addressing it. Tori's gone. That's the weirdest thing. So anyway, there's four seasons, but Voodoo has five. So Good Morning, Miss Bliss, quote unquote, five of Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell, the college years, Hawaiian Vacation movie,
that's the Leah Remi one.
Is it? Okay.
That's, yeah.
And then the wedding in Las Vegas, which is the end.
Which is Zach and Kelly, right?
Yeah, post-graduation. Yeah. Then it's them going to elope in Vegas for...
I think that's a good deal for $20.
But that's
I would never
point.
Watch it, but like, but that's a good deal for $20.
And so Ryan and I just like, I mean, I've seen them all, but I mean, we would like play video games and have it on kind of in the background or whatever. But
yeah.
Ryan loved it. I'm like, this is what I grew up on.
Well, you figure when we talk about being his Brady Bunch,
yeah.
or your Brady Bunch, for his age, mm-hmm. right? It's the Brady Bunch.
It's us.
For my age.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure,
like when I was watching the Brady Bunch, it was 10 or 11
reruns,
years old. I guess a little older than 10 or 11, but it was like, it was in reruns.
Sure.
But you know, one of the downsides of binging all this television that we have at our disposal is that, you know, there were certain shows that you just got to know so well because you would watch them over and over again. I mean, I've seen every episode of MASH probably 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, right.
I've seen every episode of the Brady Bunch probably 10 times. Mm. And so
that 70s show. Watched the
Never got into that one.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And so like you would know these little quirks and nods and like these little single lines that only appeared once. Like with the Brady Bunch, pork chops and applesauce. Like that's one line from one episode out of like 120 episodes or something.
Was it Pete?
It was the one where Peter wants to be cool and he doesn't have, the girls say he doesn't have a personality, and so he starts imitating. So
like a gangster.
He's going to be Bogart.
That's right. Yeah.
And, but again, it's one line from one episode. Like, why it resonates.
The football.
Basketball. Mom always, there's a football in the nose.
Yeah.
And then there's the basketball that hits the vase.
That's right.
Mom always says, don't play ball in the house. Like it's, you know, so there's.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, but I was thinking about this the other day of like how I, as much as I love having everything at my disposal, and I do love it.
Yeah.
There was this kind of charm of like, oh my God, Casablanca's on Channel 9 right now. Turn it on.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know? Oh my God, Paper Moon's on at 11. Guess I'm staying up.
The instant gratification that we have now.
Right.
Does take a little bit out of the, oh my God, they're showing Evil Dead on HBO.
And ironically,
midnight.
I find like I watch a lot of those movies less, right?
Sure.
Because it used to be when it would pop up on TV and I'd be like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to see again. I bet I'm going to sit down and watch this.
Right.
Sure. But now it's like, well, now that I can watch it whenever I want. It's like, well, I'll get to it.
Yeah, I got it on.
When I get to it, it's there.
It's
there.
A blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally get what you mean. And for nostalgia, it's the same thing I say about Blockbuster. I loved the experience of going in, picking up the cases, looking at the back, talking to the people for recommendations, what we like, what we don't like. But I also like no late fees, laying in bed and clicking a button. I mean, I much prefer this way, but I miss the experience and the...
I got into it, but it was a disagreement about Blockbuster where people are just like, I don't know why people have nostalgia. They ruin the market. And I was like, yeah, in some places. In other places, they didn't have a market.
Right.
So they're, when a Blockbuster comes to town, like, that's a big deal.
And
I didn't have mom and pop stores. I went to the grocery store for videos.
I did. But it's also just like... It was just a different, I mean, it's the same experience.
But I think most people weren't going to the mom and pop stores. Most people weren't aware that they ever existed. And their first interaction was something like Blockbuster or Hollywood Video. So they don't even get the nostalgia of walking in to the really small video stores.
That's
you know?
True. That's very, I mean, we had Star Video, which was kind of like a local chain here in town. And then we had like Video Village.
Yeah.
Which was in Afton, and that's what that was, and Movies to Go. Those were the Video Village and Movies to Go.
The first one I remember was in the strip mall next to my parents' printing company, and it was called VHS Video Home Sales.
Oh,
and, they knew,
I would go in there, and I think I've told this story before. My membership card number was 6, like
three.
That's
229-0370-0003.
Yeah, mine was just 006. Like that was just and that was because I just talked my parents into buying me a video recorder, and well, it was like I bought the video camera, they bought the recorder, which was like, but each of them I think at the time were like
insane.
I think they were like $2,000 each. I mean, it was crazy.
It's crazy. So I just had this conversation with Bella the other day. We were talking about TVs. And I was like, yeah, but like the TV I had growing up was like a 15-inch, you know, and she's like, yeah, but how much did it cost? And I was like, you know what? I don't know how much it cost. So I just happened to look up like a 1987 Sears ad.
Oh, right, I love it.
For TVs.
I love looking at ads from the circulars from back then. It was hilarious.
$700.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what our TV cost that's on top of the cabinet? And she was like, what? I was like, less than that.
Right.
And that's like a, you know.
And you haven't adjusted for inflation.
No, right, exactly.
Seriously, yeah. If you ever want to just have your mind blown, I mean, and I'm sure people our age were in that. We understand it because we remember going to Circuit City and Best Buy and looking at those prices. But
Sears, man, like a Sears.
Do you remember there was a Radio Shack ad going around about a year or two ago, and it was like it was just like one page from the ad, and it was all these things they had on sale, right? And it was like the introduction of the mobile phone. So there was the bag phone,
sure,
and then there was like a television, and then there was a VCR, and then there was a radio, and there were all these different things. And it was like, and somebody pointed out that literally everything on that page, every single item on that page, your phone does.
Yep.
Wow.
It's crazy when you go back and watch like an episode of Star Trek, like the original Star Trek, and like their communicator. And it's like, yeah, it's my phone today is more advanced than that communicator.
Yeah.
When that was like, you know, did they ever give a time, like a year as to when that was supposed to be set?
I've never been a Trek guy, so I think they do.
Okay, but even in Escape from New York, it's 1999.
Right.
Well, that stuff's all like, hilarious. All the movies we grew up with in the future.
I think in Terminator was 97.
Yeah.
So it's like I remember sitting down the first time to watch.
Well, I feel like in the next couple of years, the Terminator future may be possible.
It's bad. You ain't kidding. But I was watching. I was rewatching Escape from. I hadn't seen it in a while. I was rewatching it, and I like in 1999, and I'm like, well, none of this happened.
Yeah.
Like New York didn't just break off.
Just like the Back to the Future thing.
Yeah,
it just
happened a couple
years ago. It's always hilarious. But yeah,
the Cubs did win though.
It was close. Whatever it was,
it was
really close.
It was a year off. Yeah.
But I just if you ever go back and look at those old sales circulars, I love it though because I found like just when VHS hit the market and how much those players were and the different TVs.
Yeah, I had a Panasonic top loader. I love the
top loader.
I'm a proponent of the top loader.
Trying to explain to her that I was like, no. Like you had a separate thing.
Yeah.
Like you had the TV, and then you had a whole nother thing next to the TV that you would take cables and plug into the TV. And she was like, what?
You couldn't just stream hundreds of thousands of...
Yeah. I was like, no. And I'm like, a VHS cost $100. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, a VHS tape. She goes, what's a tape? And I was like, well, that's a whole nother story. Yeah. That's
kids these days, right, Tom?
Yeah, I know. You know, I will say before we move on, the one of the other things I miss about... not have everything in our fingertips and having, you know, five channels to watch.
Right.
Is that it forced you to watch things that you might not watch normally.
That's true.
Just like this podcast does for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. But
I should say Joe, sorry.
Well, yeah, let's be honest.
Musicals and whatever else.
God damn it. Into the Woods is a musical? But yeah, growing up, like, I watched all the Good Times and all the Jeffersons, and I don't know that those shows would have appealed to me if I had the whole world to choose from. But it was like, at that point in time, it was like, well, the Jeffersons are on, or I can watch the news or a soap opera. Jeffersons it is.
I don't know. Was it the one, Days of Our Lives, where the gal got possessed by a demon? Because that's when I started watching it. And I was
the one?
Wait. This gal's possessed by a demon right now? Yeah.
Which is funny, because that took place, like, I think 10 or 15 years after they had done it as a parody on soap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was hilarious. A major plot line in the first season.
What was that gal's name?
One of the characters has a baby, and the baby is possessed
by
the devil.
That's who it was. It was Marlena got possessed by a demon.
But anyway, I like being able to like, oh, this interests me, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I also never say, this doesn't interest me, maybe I'll try it.
That's
in the way I used to
when
my choices were more sparse.
Even when I was first introduced to cable.
Yeah.
It was like, well, I mean, there's really nothing on in the middle of the day. I guess I'm watching Nick at Night.
Right.
You know, so I'm watching Dick Van Dyke or...
Yeah.
Not married with children, but All in the Family and stuff like
right.
that.
There's just not enough time in the day. This is the question I posed to Tom a while back. I was like, how can these networks each have their own, you know, 20 new shows that, you know, no one's ever heard of half of them, and they just keep pumping out this TV, and it's like, I get that we're finding some gems and some of them work, but it's like, there's so many choices on each network for original programming.
Yeah.
Right.
That it's like, I can't, these days, I'm just not like, oh, I want to watch, I'm just throwing out like Austin Powers for the 20th time, because there's 50 shows that I've heard good things about.
Well, think about this. You know? Thursday nights on NBC. Thursday nights in general.
Yeah.
What shows were on?
Was that like the Friends?
It depends on what time frame. Yeah,
well, here's the thing. Like, we'll say like that, and when NBC was dominating.
Again, they dominated for 20 years. So, like, I could, like.
But could you tell me what was on CBS or ABC at that point?
So,
what they tried to put up against whatever
NBC was
doing?
So, yeah, when NBC was going gangbusters originally, it was like Cosby, Family Ties,
yeah.
Cheers, Night Court, and then they'd roll into L.A. Law.
Right.
And then
it transferred to like,
I think
Mad
on
About You.
And then on CBS during that time frame, their big counter programming to Cosby was Magnum P.I.
Well, all right.
But I don't know which one of
you
those
asked
is
the wrong person. Which, you asked
no, no, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't
remember tell you what was on.
I don't remember what came on after Magnum P.I.
which one of those shows has aged better?
I also remember that, that St. Elsewhere aired against The Equalizer.
Oh, okay.
St. Elsewhere was on Wednesdays, and it aired against The Equalizer on CBS.
Well, then it was like, and then NBC transferred to Mad About You, Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends, Will and Grace.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, they always had that.
It was always like a loop. Like, one would leave, and then one would.
There was always, they always had that 7:30, our time 7:30.
Yeah.
Most people consider 8:30. But after, like, Friends would lead off, and it would, like, I think Friends and Frasier
were your
and
hour
then,
block.
And then were at the top of the hour. Uh-huh. And that show in between, they would cycle through, and they could never really find something that worked. And so it was
like Mad About You ran forever.
I think Mad About You was after.
On the flip side of Frasier?
Yeah. And then. And that's when they cycle through, like, Caroline in the City.
Oh, yeah.
And what's, I think, did Suddenly Susan live there for
Spin
a while?
City? No, Spin City was ABC.
Spin City was ABC.
Just Shoot Me?
Just Shoot Me, but what was the Phil Hartman radio one?
News Radio.
News Radio.
But I think that was Wednesdays.
Okay.
And they moved, and then they think they moved Frasier to Tuesdays or Wednesdays, because it was strong enough that they were like, we're going to pick it up and move it over here and try and build another solid day of the week.
I feel like that's a model that is no longer in place. We're like, okay,
Doesn't matter.
It was like you have this heavy show, like this Friends,
right?
And like, maybe people will stick around for the next one.
Absolutely. That used to be, and they would even design their end credits to where there wouldn't be any commercials.
Right,
it would
go right
from one credit to the opening of the other to get you to sample. Like, yeah,
that's how Spike TV got me to watch CSI, because they played it after Raw, and I was like, well, I'm already 5-10 minutes into this show. I'll just keep
somebody's
watching
dead.
It.
That's good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Before we move on from TV talk, I wanted to say, if you guys haven't seen, I told you about it, Tom, the live in front of a studio audience that's on Hulu. I think it was maybe a special on ABC, but it's on Hulu, and they recreate with current actors full episodes with unaltered scripts from All in the Family and the Jeffersons.
Mm.
And it's really, it's like Woody Harrelson is Archie.
He was Archie Bunker.
Man, that actually could still play.
And yeah. Well, it's interesting. And then Jamie Foxx is
George Jefferson. Okay.
And so, but there's a lot of actors that you would know.
Wanda Sykes played Louise.
Yeah.
If it was up to me, they should have gender swapped that. Wanda Sykes
is a better George
would
Jefferson.
Be an amazing Georgia Jefferson.
Georgia Jefferson.
That's right.
Yeah,
sure, like sure, she sure. would have been crazy good.
Yeah.
My only complaint about that was I felt they were too faithful. They were like doing impersonations.
That's what I mean. It's like, I mean, it is like recreation.
I would have rather seen them give their own interpretations of it, but if you're just doubling down on nostalgia.
But I mean, they recreate it, and wow, that was eye-opening, because as a kid, I caught reruns, of course, of these shows, and I never really understood what they were saying, you know,
sure,
as far
right.
as, you know, how crazy, like, racist and terrible Archie Bunker was. Yeah. So when I watched this special, I'm like, holy crap.
It is funny how so many conservatives... You see, like, passing around memes of Archie Bunker.
Of course.
Like he's great.
The good old days, he was great. I'm like, the Archie, All in the Family, they hated Archie Bunker.
He was
Bunker.
The punchline.
He was
he's the punchline. Exactly.
Yeah. I had no idea as a kid, but I always thought of him as this great, like, conservative Archie Bunker American.
Right.
But he is a racist, bigot,
and
terrible
wrong.
Person.
And,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
every episode, he's proven to be wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, watch this, but it's really cool. They got all these big-name actors to come in and recreate it. it, but it was eye-opening to like things that you may not have picked up. If you're younger, you may not have really realized, you just watch these reruns and whatever, but the things they were actually saying, I'm like, wow, this show is kind of crazy.
So back to Shameless Plugs.
Yes.
What else can I say? Oh, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and, of course, leave us a review. Since we're giving away the way it's supposed to work, now they're saying that we should encourage people to leave us reviews on Facebook.
Oh.
Because nobody really looks at the reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Well, all right.
Really?
So I think what I heard is if you just leave a 5-star rating,
yeah,
that's the algorithm. It's a five. If you just hit 5 stars and just, yeah, you don't, like, your reviews don't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, they just look at the rating.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, you look at the stars. I think that's pretty standard. And luckily, we do have a lot. We have, I think, over 200. So, like, people are good about listening and doing the stars. But if you want to write a review, it's great.
Oh, yeah. But I think the argument they make is that the Facebook review is better, because the Facebook review, when you leave a review, your friends will see it.
Sure.
And it it will push it in front of them to say, oh, so if you want to leave us a review, if you've already left us a review on Apple Podcasts, this is a way to recommit.
Yeah.
And just run over to Facebook and leave us a review or recommendation, as they call it.
There you go.
You can use the same verbiage. Nobody's going to sue you for plagiarizing yourself. You're not John Fogerty. So also, you can join the League of Show Sharers while you're on Facebook. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. And then just go to the League of Show Sharers. People who are kind enough to share the show this week: Aaron Marlowe, Chris Sanders, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Fox Smith, Ralph Tribble, Susan Carlson, Zara Vandercreek, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Lane Levanway, Travis Tewitt, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Gabriel Lugo, Ron Johnson, Jason Weesey, and Brent Smith. So thank you so much for sharing the show. We should also say about Dustin, I don't know if you noticed.
No.
Congratulate him on his achievement.
He's half a Justin.
He has lost
Dustin,
a ton of weight.
Oh, that's fantastic.
A ton of weight.
That's
like
awesome.
Almost literally. No, that's not. He wouldn't.
A ton of.
But he has lost a ton of weight. And
that's
someone
great.
Who's lost weight myself, not that much, but that's not an easy thing to do. So,
no, man. Congratulations.
So congratulations to Dustin on that. Well done.
Well done, buddy.
Well done. So, anyway, there's all that. Unless somebody has news.
I do.
Okay. A little bit of news, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to... Well, why don't you go? Mine's probably longer.
Is yours the Suicide Squad?
Yes.
But his has more girth.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, apparently
both,
it's the same.
Neither here nor there.
This is an interaction which I wanted to pose the question to you guys and weigh in on it. So David Ehrlich, who I follow, and I mean, he's a film critic, and I like his reviews. I like his interactions on social media. You know, he's a smart guy, very funny. But this is what he says in regards to the James Gunn Suicide Squad cast announcement, which James Gunn, if you didn't see it, shared a poster, and it had a list of cast members. It was just like a black poster with names on it. And there's a bunch that Joe's counting out of cast members.
Yeah, hold on, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 24.
You could have counted over and across and
that's
multiplied.
What I just did.
Oh, I thought you were just doing each one. So, like, get a multiply.
No, that's 24 cast members.
24 cast members on there. Interesting, Jared Leto's not on there.
Yep.
So
neither's Will Smith.
You know, but it's like Jared Leto's not on there, but John Cena is. So
okay,
it's like,
so in that defense, the tweet from James Gunn did say, "Don't get attached."
Right. Oh, well, yeah, these 24 people aren't going to be in the next 20 movies. I get
no.
it.
No.
So, well, I mean, somebody. So you mean he recognized the fact that the first word in the title is suicide?
Yeah.
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 So David Ehrlich, when this is announced, he says he does a picture of Memento, and it's the main character of Memento riding on a Polaroid to remember, because, you know, if you know that movie, and it says, "Don't believe his lies." And he says that feeling when a movie studio makes a splashy, exciting announcement about a sequel to some dumb piece of SH, you know, that literally every sane person on earth hated with a passion when it came out like 10 minutes ago, and they're saying don't believe his lies on the thing. So then he follows up with James Gunn is very good at this, and I'm sure Suicide Squad or whatever will be a big step
That's actually pretty good.
But yeah, he's great. Follow David Ehrlich on Twitter if you don't. But if we could all take a guilty until proven innocent approach to this stuff, we'd probably live longer and spend more time focusing on the masterpiece Hustlers in theaters now.
Oh, so masterpiece.
So that's his argument for this. So then David Ayer, after people tagging him and he's getting attacked by online, but David Ayer says, David, that's really mean-spirited. I understand the nature of your job and the necessity to grab eyes, but a lot of people dedicated their blood, sweat, and tears and came together to make the original. It's incredibly painful to have 2 years of my love attacked in such a way. David Ehrlich follows up, I was trying to express frustration with the endless franchise hype parade that continues unabated regardless of previous results, whatever they are, often at the expense of focusing on films that need the attention. Apologies that it came off as more of a personal attack. And then David Ayer...
I don't think it came off as a personal attack at all. I think David Ayer is just being a little...
I think he's being a bitch.
Well, so here's the final one is David Ayer retweeting that and saying, thank you for this. The film industry is exactly that, an industry. It keeps growing and moving forward, yet I know James Gunn will make something amazing. My frustration comes from being hammered for something that was not my original vision. So that's the interaction. David Ehrlich saying, focus on films and more films in theater now that need your box office dollars than a poster for something 2 years away or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's his argument, but he also does call out Suicide Squad for being a piece of crap.
Because it was a piece of crap.
But the thing I would disagree with David Ehrlich on is that I don't think people are excited about Suicide Squad 2 because they loved the first one.
Right.
I think they're excited about it because they love James Gunn.
I think they're excited about it because they hated the first one.
Yeah, and they
different pedigree.
Yeah, and they love James Gunn.
Absolutely.
So.
I would 100% disagree only because I've read these comments. So the
comments to
every person that responded in David Ayer's defense on Twitter about this, I mean, the movie made $750 million worldwide.
It won Academy Award
without China box office, which is
a
huge market.
They didn't release it in China?
I guess not. I don't know what it was about it.
Clowns.
Yeah. But I mean that's, you know, that could have been 200 million more. So
sure.
It made 750 million worldwide. So you can't say people didn't like it. It's different when we're critics and we say it's a bad movie, but people love the movie. And so to his defense, when Ehrlich posted this, the internet blew up and said, "I love Suicide Squad. I love the first one. I'm excited." You know, and they came in this huge defense because there are people, obviously millions of people that love that movie. So It's not just James Gunn. I think people like us may be more excited for James Gunn because we hated the first, but there's a lot of people that genuinely love that first one for whatever reason. But the main attack comes when David Ehrlich says that, I mean, he calls it the sequel to, quote, some dumb piece of S that literally every sane person on earth hated with a passion. I mean, that's pretty insulting.
Yeah.
He's calling out anyone that liked it, the 750 million of box office. They liked a dumb piece of S and they're not sane. You know, so the question is that unprofessional to say something like that?
So I think our job is to critique the movie.
Sure.
I have my feelings about the DCEU fans that just refuse to acknowledge the fact that these aren't well-made. Like, up until recently, with the exception of Wonder Woman, these aren't really well-made movies. There's really no thought process. It's a rush job every single time. So I think I think it's our job to say it's a bad movie. Mm-hmm. Don't waste your time. That's our opinion.
Yeah.
And I think movies, like any art, is subjective.
Sure.
And we have 500 episodes now. So, you can listen to us and determine whether or not you agree with us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I have critics that I disagree with. And a lot of times they're more valuable than a critic I do agree with. Like, if they're like, they go through why a movie is good. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound good at all to me.
Yeah, I don't like the way that sounds at all.
It's the Spath rule.
It is the Spath rule.
If Spath hates it, then you know it's got to be good.
Yeah, if Spath likes it, it's amazing.
You're like, oh, yeah.
It's the old like Italian grandmother where like, you got to trick them until like, when they're feeding you. Like, if you don't want anything, you got to shoot them. That's a Ray Romano joke. I can't take that.
That's
but
funny.
It's just like, if you want a little bit,
you get a lot.
You ask for none.
That's funny.
And if you want a lot, you ask for a little bit. Like, you got to trick him.
you just
got to shoot him. But no, like, I think he does have, he has the right to say it's a garbage movie.
Yeah.
But I think where you kind of step over the line is where you do start insulting
the people that did like it. That is hard. I think that you can critique something and criticize it without attacking the people, because we all have different opinions. We all like different things. I mean, there's movies that we all love that each other hate. I mean, that's movies. So I kind of agree there. Like, a critic's job is to call out the movie for what it is, to criticize it. It's in the title. But
and
also
if you're a director, though, you got to be ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you, David Ayer is a very skilled and talented director. There is no Fury, End of Watch, Whatever was before End of Watch. Like, he's got...
Beginning of Watch.
Beginning of Watch. Yeah. But I will... Like, that Will Smith movie on Netflix is not good.
Oh,
you know, Suicide Squad, yeah, I'm sorry,
and he
not
wrote
good.
That. And he wrote that Bright.
Yeah. Like, it's
Bright,
not,
isn't that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
I don't think there's a the. I think it isn't it just Bright?
Yeah, just Bright. Bright. Yeah.
But it's just like those are both those movies are a mess.
Yeah.
And maybe Suicide Squad isn't his fault. You know, maybe he had a plan. And when you...
I will say I don't think it was his fault. I think that there was a lot of... I mean, I remember when it came out, it sounded like there were almost... two entirely different versions of that movie that they spliced together. And we even talked about how when you were watching the movie,
it felt completely different.
They would like give you two establishing scenes. It was like of
That's
each
right.
thing.
Right.
And, like, they'd show you a character and then they'd show you that character again instead of just going with one to establish. It was like you could almost see the fight between the filmmakers and the producers on the screen.
Did he take over for someone?
No, he was all him all the whole
really?
Way. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was one where he came in like a lot of these superhero. You get the auteur who wants to change things too much and then they have a gun for hire.
But that's the... No pun intended.
Well, now they will.
Now they do, yeah. But like... We've said it before, is when you start getting into these franchises, you're playing in somebody else's sandbox.
Right.
And you kind of have to... I think that's why we lost Edgar Wright on Ant-Man. I think a lot of his stuff is in that movie, but he didn't... You know, and to his credit, he didn't want to go along with the studio system. Totally fine. Walks off the project. We still get Peyton Reed to come in and do the movie.
Don't forget you got Adam McKay coming in to work on it, too.
That's true, yeah. Left. But I mean, like, and I get that. But if you are going to sign on... to do this for it to play in this sandbox, there are certain boxes you probably need to tick that they...
You are borrowing someone else's toys.
Yeah, you can do some stuff. Like, I have... Okay, so whatever characters these are, I think that bottom row, that's the cast that's going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
The
I
big
think it,
names are the
I
ones
I think it's like
all,
Viola Davis, yeah. Margot Robbie.
Right.
And then the two other
The big
ones.
Names are there to show up, and then they're gone.
But I think if they're doing what it seems like they're doing, which is they're all going to get killed,
right?
Like, that's great. I mean, that...
That's,
I mean,
it should be.
I mean, Deadpool in 5 minutes had a better Suicide Squad movie than Suicide Squad did,
right?
Right?
Sure. Exactly.
And like that. I mean, that was the point of Suicide Squad, is that they're going on suicide missions. If everybody lives,
it wouldn't be Suicide Squad.
It's, yeah,
like, yeah. It's like, and in the suicide that, like, it's not just like the one dude that wants to run away. You know, like, that's what we got in that. The one death we got in that movie is the guy's like, I'm not doing this. And then his head blew off.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's the one we're getting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you watch The Dirty Dozen. Only like, what, three of them live?
Or The Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if they would have stuck to their guns and done that version, I think it could have been really good. If they would have just done a straight up action Dirty Dozen with villains, with B and C level villains, with the exception of Harley Quinn at that point.
Yeah.
It works. But they tried to turn it, you know, they turn it. We don't need to get into it. There's a whole episode on that.
Right.
But they mucked it up and it's a mess. And I don't understand. I could see the argument for Man of Steel. I can see the argument for BVS. I can't see the argument for Justice League. I don't get it.
Know.
You know, like, but I, and Suicide Squad is the same way. I cannot. She is the redeeming quality in that movie.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, if there was no Harley Quinn, I don't think you'd see the love for that film that you do.
I don't
but
think so at all.
She just annoys me now, though, and because I hate that movie, and she's just annoying.
I think
the character.
I mean, Margot Robbie's great,
right.
but
that
Harley Quinn in that movie is just, it's too much, and I hate that movie, and I hate that Joker, and so now it's like...
Did you see the picture they put up of him, when they digitally took out all the tattoos and all the crap on his face?
No.
It doesn't look that bad.
Well, when they changed the entire design.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
but like, I think if you take her out of that world, we're going to get that version of Harley. And that Harley is very similar to the comics, that she's almost identical.
Yeah.
I think if you put her in a better movie, and I don't know what Birds of Prey is going to be. I have no clue what
it's going to be. Deadpool with Harley Quinn.
Probably.
That's what they're doing.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think it'll be less annoying.
Yeah, I hope so. So here's the thing, you know, before we move on to our not box office report here, David Ehrlich, the stuff, I get that there'd be frustration with the insults. So I'm with Joe on this. I think, you know, critique the movie. That's your job. Don't get into insults and name calling. There's no need for that. But in David Ayer's defense, though, I do understand where he's coming from, because, again, his movie made $750 million, yet he's getting dragged through the mud by critics who hated Suicide Squad. And it's like, It's like, yeah, you didn't like it, but to say that it was a failure and say that it was trash, well, there's $750 million. We've talked before. I mean, box office isn't everything, but we're not talking about critical. We're talking about people enjoying it.
Yeah.
And people did. So the guy made this movie that made almost $1 billion.
But then you have to ask yourself, if it made all this money and people liked it, why did they completely go in a different direction for the sequel? And that makes me think that that studio has some internal tracking that shows that while it made a lot of money, people really aren't super invested in it.
The thing is that, as we've mentioned before, DC and Warner want Avengers, right?
Yeah.
So like,
I don't know if they wanted Avengers.
Well,
I'm not so sure they want to do it now.
But the point is though that $750 million is a lot of money and it made profit.
Sure.
But it didn't make $2 billion.
Right.
It didn't make $1.5 billion. So to Tom's point, it's like the timing. When James Gunn got fired by Disney and they picked him up to do a DC movie, you know, and luckily before he came back, you know, so they got him now in the DC. I mean, what great timing for them
it's interesting to see what they do. Obviously, the rumor is that JJ is signing a huge deal with Warner Brothers. Don't know what it's going
to
be.
And could take on a big franchise.
To be their Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to maybe helm a couple franchises.
And so people are like Superman. J.J. Abrams directed.
Yeah.
Those are the two that I think would be the...
Well, with the space cosmic stuff, kind of with J.J. doing Star Wars and him. I mean, that could work really well. But yeah, I'm like a J.J. Abrams Superman. That could work.
We almost got it. And go read that script. It's not good.
Yeah. But
it's not good at all. But I mean, so you know, maybe they're figuring it out.
Yeah,
about 9 years too late.
Yeah. Well, I guess with all that, we should probably turn our eyes to the box office.
Guess.
Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin,
I do, Tom, and it looks like It Chapter Two, the movie from last week, is number one again. $40 million is a 56% drop, so that is now up to $153 million domestic. So I mean, it took a pretty big drop, but still making quite a bit of money. $111 million overseas before this weekend's totals, so we're approaching the $250 million mark in two weekends, so
that's
not too bad. I mean not as good as the first movie did when it opened, but still making a lot of money. So.
I think I heard that the director said that he would like to go back and film some stuff so that he can do a supercut to what you were saying.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
to put everything together.
I would be interested in seeing that.
I would too.
I feel like I won't say a good movie. A better movie.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens on the home release, see if they merge those two together. But number two, the movie of the week, Hustlers, with $32 million.
Which is quite the surprise. I believe it was tracking at 25, and they were ecstatic with that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So, yeah, so for it to come in at 32 is, but it's getting a lot of positive reviews and a lot of buzz.
Yeah,
I was just about to say the buzz around this one is huge, and so it definitely gave it a nice boost for this weekend. So it had a $20 million budget, so it's basically made its money back first weekend of release. So we'll get into that one on the next episode.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's mainly women. But, number three, Angel Has Fallen. That movie. What the?
The right movie at the right time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good enough movie at the right time.
Right, nothing else. I mean,
I think next week is next week Rambo?
Next week is Rambo and Ad Astra.
Okay.
Okay. So the analysts are getting a nice bonus in their Christmas checks this year because they dropped this thing at the right time. Angel Has Fallen, $4.2 million is a 30% drop in week four. So that movie has made over $60 million domestic now.
Can you see what the first one, what Olympus Has Fallen made?
I'm sure I could. I click on Gerard Butler and I scroll down here. Olympus Has Fallen from 2013, six years ago. That made, it opened to $30 million.
Okay.
It made almost $100 million domestic and $71 overseas.
I thought it was a fairly big hit.
I mean, they keep making them. So.
Right. But I think it did really well overseas, too.
Oh, sure. Action movies, kind of.
Now, Angel Has Fallen has a $40 million budget, and I don't have any overseas numbers yet.
I got to tell you, man, like that's where dirty action movies should fall. You've getting that $30 million to $40 million range. You put out just a decent enough action flick, and you've got that.
Yeah.
You know, I was just listening to a podcast and they basically said that, like, they miss the idea. Like, back in the 80s, you had Norris, you had Willis, you had Stallone, you had Seagal, you had Schwarzenegger, you had Van Damme. So you had six, maybe seven guys, if you want to throw somebody else in there, who were
Lundgren.
Six guys.
Yeah. He wasn't really top line in very
no,
many
he
movies.
Was not. Masters of the Universe and Red Scorpion were kind of the But like you had a plethora of action heroes, and you
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I'll give you Wesley Snipes.
Because he was in a lot of those.
For sure, I'll give you Wesley Snipes. Yeah. For sure, yeah, he was definitely an action star. But you had like a plethora to choose from.
Yeah.
Where now you've got The Rock. You know, like you.
Well, and I would argue that action movies now are comic book movies.
I would agree. Yeah, you don't have the muy macho,
right?
And also comedies. Now a lot of action movies come out as action comedies.
But like the straight up commando.
Although you had a lot of those in the '80s action comedies.
But nowadays, I mean how many
not starring those guys though.
Yeah, those were action.
Those guys were like the Predator or Terminator.
Well, Schwarzenegger.
2. Later.
Yeah.
But then he went back to I should probably go back into True Lies and Eraser.
But True Lies is funny.
True Lies is funny. True Lies.
But not comedy. Not Kumail Nanjiani comedy, Deadpool comedy.
Okay, maybe not to that
not
degree.
Comedy.
But
I mean, they had comedic elements, right. Sure. But nowadays, you just don't
see.
Had
Tom Arnold in it.
Yeah. But you don't see the straight action movies anymore.
Yeah, like Fast and Furious.
That's. Yeah. I always think those are almost superhero movies, but I agree.
Yeah.
But to your point.
But they have the comedy elements, a lot of them, too. Whereas, like, those 80s action movies, they took themselves seriously. I mean, they were cool.
Oh, yeah.
But they were ass-kicking just straight.
Yes.
Macho action movies
right.
Where it wasn't that comedic element. So,
you don't really get those.
Yeah, it's definitely
changed. And Olympus Has Fallen is in that vein.
It goes back into that.
It's very much like that kind of throwbacky little thing. So, I miss those action movies where you could get away with stuff that you can't get away with now.
Yeah. So, basically, it's made its money back.
Like
though.
When your hero teams up with the Taliban.
I was just, oh my God.
I just finished it.
I did too.
Yes. I watched it yesterday.
Three?
That's three.
Rambo 3, yes. Where he fights with the Mujahideen.
It was okay back then.
Is he fighting against the U.S.?
No, he's fighting the Soviet Union. At that point, Union was trying to invade Afghanistan.
They were that bad.
Yeah. And that the freedom fighters were the Mujahideen, which would go on to become the Taliban. And apparently there's actually a draft. The original script of that film ended with him staying to fight with the Mujahideen.
Oh my God.
And then for whatever reason, they didn't do that.
Thank God.
That would not have aged well.
No.
Plus, we would have lost.
We got Rambo.
There's
on
no way we could have beat Rambo.
Took out an entire police force and Brian Dennehy.
Yes.
And Brian Dennehy, the one man army himself.
But yeah,
I want this war.
I am still fascinated that Rambo is like is this kind of patriotic macho icon of the right when in the first movie. Wholesale slaughter against police officers.
Absolutely.
Like and dirty cops that deserved it. But still, like anything that the cops do to him in that movie.
Right.
If that were a news story now, you'd hear Thin Blue Line. What did he do?
Yeah,
we can't trust him. And it's like this whole movie is based around him just slaughtering police officers.
You can get away with part two.
The second movie is.
Doesn't he go to Vietnam to get
he goes?
Out?
They send him back to Vietnam to take people out, but he's abandoned in Vietnam.
Yes, that's right. That's
by
right.
the Reagan administration.
Yes, that's correct.
And has to come back and then shoot up a U.S. military base.
Geez.
And then in the third one, he joins up with the Taliban.
Yes.
And so
finally in four, they're just like, can you just kill guerrilla fighters in the jungle?
In Burma.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about Burma to know who's right or wrong.
10 years from now, we're like, can you believe what they did in Rambo 4?
Yeah. But, I mean, ultimately, the point of those movies, as much as they're kind of written off as these kind of meathead movies.
The first one's amazing.
Movie. The first one is amazing as a...
It's a film.
Right.
Yeah.
The second one is just a great action movie.
Yep.
And it's amazing in its own way. I think that the point that people kind of miss sometimes because Rambo has become this bigger than life metaphor. It literally was a cartoon at one point. Yeah. But is that like the whole point was that war is bad. Don't pick sides because those sides are going to constantly shift as to who's right and who's wrong.
Who
and ultimately Rambo 3 kind of proves that point. Like don't pick sides.
There's I think Stallone retweeted. Somebody took an edit of the cartoon and edited in like clips from First Blood.
Yeah.
And so like the audio is from First Blood, but it's the cartoon and it's just like, it's very weird, but very funny.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't want this war.
Saturday morning cartoons of everything.
Toxic Avenger, man. That's a thing that exists as a thing.
Kids love the Rambo toys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, man. So many weird cartoons.
So anyway, coming in at number four, Good Boys. That is a 25% drop in week five, now up to $73 million domestic. The Lion King still making all the money. $3.7 million is a 14% drop. Like, summer's over. Kids are still going to see Lion King,
yeah.
And probably adults too. It's a lot of money. $500
Well, the kids can't drive themselves.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. They could always drop them off and go see Hustlers, though, right? So, $534 million and over $1 billion, $1.07 for and alone. So, $1.6 million, not too shabby for the old Lion King remake. Then the bottom half here: Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, with another $2.8 million. Overcomer with $2.7 million.
Is that Sony?
Yes.
So have you heard this? Yeah. The deal is that Apple is looking to buy Sony.
What?
To go with Apple Plus.
Oh, my goodness.
But apparently there's some weird loophole where if Sony gets bought, the rights to Spider-Man revert back to Marvel.
That would make sense. A lot of times when you license properties like that, it's like they don't want them in the hands of just anyone. They're approving Sony
and
their vision, but they don't want...
Can't resell it.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson buys them and decides to open a studio and they own Spider-Man. Like, you know, it's just...
So I think, that Apple is like looking to buy up some stuff.
They're trying to Disney themselves.
Yes, kind of. So it'd be interesting to see if that happens.
But then you can only watch Apple Plus on your Walkman.
That's a bold move on their part.
It's a very bold move. A very bold move. So we'll have to see. That's very silly.
Does anybody have... I've never used Apple TV.
I've got one. But I still think it's frustrating.
Just like a Fire Stick?
Yeah, it's the same concept. But the thing that frustrates me is, so Apple will subsidize a year of Apple Plus if you buy their hardware. So I think the cheapest one is an Apple TV. They're like $150, maybe $129 sometimes. So $60 off, whatever. They subsidize one for you. But the problem is that people now have 5-6 TVs in their home.
Right.
So you're not going to get people that want to watch Apple TV to change their entire home media landscape and buy 6 Apple TVs. It's just too much of an investment and too much of a change. So the fact is that what we've confirmed is that if you have an Apple device, you can watch Apple TV, and then you can also stream it on a web browser. Meaning if you want to watch it on a TV, you have to hook up a laptop to your TV or watch it on your laptop.
Fire TV has like a web browser. Can you watch it from that web browser on the Apple?
It wouldn't support it.
I'm just trying to think.
Yeah,
of ways.
No. So it's unfortunate, but my guess is that they're going to want subscribers. So they're basically doing this to try to sell hardware. You know, they're going to see how many people they actually get to sign up, and I bet it's pretty quick they get an app, because if they want to compete with Disney Plus,
it's apps,
yeah,
man.
All these other everyone has,
and they have no one to blame but themselves. No, they
totally
invented the app.
Yeah, so I think this is a push right up front. They're going to try to get people to switch over to Apple TVs or whatever, but they're going to see those numbers and try to compete. And
$5 a month is reasonable.
It's a good price point, but you got to change all your stuff.
That's not happening.
TVs don't have Apple TV built in.
You know what they should? What I think they should do? I mean, one. They should absolutely make an app for the public, and if you own an Apple device, it's $5 a month, and if you don't, it's $10.
Oh, that's fine.
There you go.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, give them a little discount to encourage them. I think that's a great idea. But we'll see what ends up happening with that. So, but Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, is 26% drop. Overcomer, $2.7 million. The Goldfinch is another one that opened. We decided to go with Hustlers. Looks like we made the right choice.
I've heard that movie is... borderline unwatchable.
Oh, really?
That it's so boring.
I heard it's Oscar bait. You know, it's that
failed Oscar
bait.
Right.
It's spoiled
Oscar bait.
It's disguised as, I mean, the whole thing screams Oscar, but it's boring and just not. Yeah. It's unfortunate. But so I think we made the right choice. It opened
not Jennifer Lopez in a bikini then.
Correct.
Yes. Gotcha.
$2.6 million openings on that one. The Peanut Butter Falcon, which I talked about last week, $1.9 million, an 11% drop.
And that's just because you talked about it.
I know, right? Yeah. Hopefully my check's in the mail when I get home.
Can't wait for the sequel, The Jelly Falcon.
Yeah, right. And then the big team up, like the Avengers team up, the Peanut Butter and Jelly Falcon.
Let's see how Jelly Falcon works out.
Let's not DC it.
Yeah,
I don't want
David Ehrlich to be.
Slow your roll.
But a phenomenal film that I'm so happy to see it doing well. It's so cool, and I'm so glad I got to talk to these guys, because it's one of those movies that I saw it before it screened even. They sent me a screener so I could interview them.
Okay, we'll get a big shot.
No, but I saw the previews. I love Shia LaBeouf. It's no secret here. And so I think he's a great actor. And I saw these previews, and I'm like, I got to see this movie. And when I finally saw it, it's like this lives up to as good as that trailer looked. The movie is so good, so heartwarming.
I love you some Sam Witwicky.
I would not say that's my favorite role is, but he's not a problem in those Transformers
movies.
Would
you say that you love Shia LaBeouf's Hole?
I never watched that movie.
Oh, really?
Well, it was a kid's movie when I wasn't really...
It's actually pretty good.
Is it? Okay.
I just wanted to make you say that you love Shia LaBeouf's Hole.
I've never seen Shia LaBeouf's Hole.
But you would love to.
I really don't have any interest in Shia LaBeouf's Hole.
Did you see Nymphomaniac? Because I'm pretty sure you see his holes in that one.
I turned that off halfway through.
Because
that
it's
hard.
Terrible.
It's so bad.
They're
so
terrible.
That's
a stunt. It's a stunt movie.
Okay.
I'm like, how did you make sex boring?
Yeah, I'm like, so they put it on Netflix or whatever finally. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch it because I do like Shia LaBeouf. It's an interesting concept.
Is it Lars von Trier?
Yeah. It's one of those art house kind of things. And I do like those type of movies generally. But I turned that on. Watch like maybe even half, not half of the
I
first one.
I watched both, man.
You did?
I watched both.
I had screeners, so I watched it when it came out, and it was just like, well, it was a slog.
Yeah,
not fun.
No, I did not want to. Yeah, so anyway, but going back to this, though, the Peanut Butter Falcon, go see it. So happy to see the success here. $14 million, almost $15 million on a little art house movie. So very cool. And seriously, go read that interview I did on Review STL. It talks about how they developed this movie. The star of the movie has Down syndrome, and he's a great actor. He does a fantastic job, and they wrote this movie for him, and the cast just all came on board. Once you got Shia, then you got Dakota Johnson and Bruce Dern and Thomas Hayden Church, and I mean, it is phenomenal. John Hawks, like, isn't that his name?
John
Hawks. Yeah,
he's great. He's the retail clerk in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay,
he is in Deadwood. He's the best friend in Deadwood.
But it was is it Winter's Bone, the one that he kind of broke out in with Jennifer?
Maybe. Yeah.
I still have not seen that.
Oh, that's you never
fantastic.
Saw Winter's Bone?
Not,
holy cow! You got to watch.
Yeah, I think
that.
It is that. I think you're right.
I didn't say nothing.
Yeah, he's also in that movie Mary Marcia May Marlene.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Olsen, who is a phenomenal actor. She's so great in everything she's in. But that's the one where she really broke out.
She's your favorite Avenger.
My favorite Avenger?
Yeah.
Oh, she's good. I don't know about my favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite Avenger.
Captain
right?
America. What kind of silly ass question is
that? I mean, for some people it is.
Dummy.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Spider-Man because I love Spider-Man.
Well,
but
get
that's
that.
Hard.
Not an Avenger anymore.
Well, I didn't know he's not
Here's
an Avenger.
Guy,
he's just kind of gone.
Somebody posted, they're like, I just found this massive loophole that could bring Captain America back. What if they push time back through him? And it's like, are you just now figuring out that they... We said that from Jump Street.
I said that during the episode. I said, you know why they even set that up?
Right.
So that eventually you can
if
make
they
them
want
old.
To, they
if
can
they want to bring them back, you can... Yes, that
And then
was,
they can do all Secret Empires.
Wow.
Like, I think they learned their lesson with the comics. I don't think we're getting that movie. I'll tell you that right now.
Yep. So anyway, but... and then rounding out the top 10, we have everyone's favorite of 2019, Dora and the Lost City of Gold with another $1.9 million. That's a 19% drop. So obviously word of mouth still kind of floating that one along. $46.7 million on that one, and did that ever open overseas? It did, almost $29 million. So not quite approaching. I mean, not quite to the $100 million worldwide. It's on a $49 million budget, so it did make money. Probably not enough to greenlight a sequel, which is disappointing.
Unfortunately,
because go listen to that episode. It was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a charming little movie.
Yeah, and that is the box office.
Well, thank
you,
Kevin.
Well, I'm sorry. That is the not box office.
There we go. thank you, not Kevin.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
So that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, leave a review, all that fun stuff. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, a plethora of choices for you. So,
you really think these listeners are forgetful, don't you?
I do.
Always having to remind them.
Always
got to
remind them. That's what all the experts say, so that's what we're doing. So anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Hustlers, which is hard because they got lots of baby oil. So
not the only thing that's hard.
Keep it to yourself. So anyway, that's it for this one. Until next time, you've been warned.
I just want to take care of my grandma.
These Wall Street guys. You see what they did to this country?
The game is rigged, and it does not reward people who play by the rules. So,
are you in?
You want them drunk enough to get their credit card, but sober enough to sign a check.
Tell the nice man where you live.
New York.
You gotta be a little more specific, baby.
I was born to flex. Yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Hustlers in theater September 13th.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.